Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Hey, you're listening to The Meeting on K-Chung. This is Self Runaway. This is my friend Stephen Bevilacqua from Fat Possum.
Hello.
Hello. Hopefully.
I think so. I hear it.
Yeah. All right. Good. Good. Good.
Is that working? Yeah.
Why is Fat Possum in Mississippi?
Because that's where all the blues guys were.
What is Fat Possum? Tell me about Fat Possum.
Matthew started it in early 90s and literally had to like pull these guys off their fucking tractors. I can curse, right?
Yeah. Curse all you want.
And so it was just practical to be there. And I think he likes it. And the overhead's low, so we can spend more on bands instead of a really expensive place in New York or Los Angeles.
Right.
Which we have both now, but it's the warehouse is massive and we just expanded. So, I mean, that real estate in any major market would be crazy.
What are some of the bigger bands that have come out of Fat Possum?
Well, I think everybody knows the Black Keys now. We did their second and third, and then an EP. And then, you know, the RL was pretty huge back in the day, especially the remix stuff, which Fat Possum got a lot of shit for.
A lot of shit for in what way?
Because all the folklorists thought it was like pissing on the blues because they had never heard the Cramps or John Spencer. So they thought it was irreverent, you know. But that was pretty massive. So.
And is everything on vinyl now from Fat Possum? Or are you guys doing?
Not everything. I mean, you know, now that we have like, we do the High Record stuff, which is like Al Green, Ann Peebles, the High Rhythm Band, the Hodges brothers, the, you know, that played on that Cat Power record. So some of that stuff we just do digital only, but you kind of have to do vinyl and everything now,
right?
You know,
so vinyl's definitely on its way back.
I mean, it's back. I don't know how long it'll stay. Right. You know, it's hard to predict that kind of stuff. But
you know, it was interesting. I was having this conversation with my friend yesterday about CDs, which were supposed to be like, you know, the savior of the music business, and that they were indestructible.
They were for a minute.
They were for a minute,
yeah.
And that they were overpriced. But I guess between CDs and vinyl, vinyl have stood the test of time, and CDs have not.
Well, I think it's just a reaction to how disposable
right.
digital is, you know. And, I mean, I like all formats, you know. I use them all. But I think it's a reaction to that. And CDs, like, we still sell a lot of them. I don't know who buys them.
I don't either. Somebody's buying them.
I think it's people with cars that drive a lot, you know.
Yeah.
That's what scares me is like when they pull CD players out of cars,
then it's over.
It's over. It's going to drop. I mean, I don't know, but that's certainly what it seems like, you know.
Right, but this little product that was supposed to be indestructible, when I put all of my CDs onto my hard drive, I then called this guy that comes and buys all my CDs, and he just took a look at them and was like, scratch, throw it away, and they were worth nothing. So what they were touted as ultimately right. was nothing.
Was a major failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a really good marketing I guess so.
Tactic,
I bought into it.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
It was called a premium product
right.
in the 90s, you know. They were louder, they were cleaner, you could skip. You know, there was a lot of great things about it, but it ultimately, yeah, they became worthless because, I mean, it's plastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like...
Well, so is vinyl, I guess.
Well, yeah,
It's a plastic product.
Yeah, but I guess it's similar, but it's not, you know, it's true. It can be truly analog depending on the process of making the
right.
record and all that, but... But yeah, I did the same thing. It's funny you're saying that because in 2007, I lived in New York and was like broke. I had no money. I was like just trying to get back to Mississippi. So I lugged a huge, huge, like two crates of every CD I owned to this record store. I can't even remember what it was. It wasn't like a good one. I was just hoping they would take all my stuff. And the guy looked through them and offered me like $12 for like 200 CDs.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck you. And I lugged them all the way back.
Should have taken the $12.
That's probably 12 more than
you can get for
You know what
now.
I ended up doing? I got really pissed off on it and burned them in my backyard.
That felt better than the $12.
Yep.
Polluting the atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. And my friends are like, you're insane. Like, this is so bad.
Yeah.
I was like, we're in Mississippi, man. It's all good.
This is what we do here.
Yeah. I had.
You're bringing a little Mississippi here to our studio.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're the first person to bring alcohol into our show and your wife.
I feel like,
is this what you would do in Mississippi? I just imagine Mississippi, there's nothing to do. Like, after lights out, there's literally nothing.
There's really not.
Nothing.
I mean, not to sound like redneck, but we found like an old log cabin that we were living in like a year, you know, and it's everything you've heard, you know. But I was thinking it's more like a Lil Wayne.
Zerp or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Well, let's play some vinyl. Speaking of vinyl, what's this first thing that we're going to listen to? It's going to take me a minute to cue up, so talk slowly.
Fat White Family. Touch the Leather Redux, I think. It's definitely gonna be Touch the Leather.
I got it to work.
It's wrong speed though, speed it up. Switch to 45.
Professional sound. And we're back. That was
Fat White Family Touch the Leather Redux.
And where does people buy this stuff? Do you have to buy go to Fat Possum?
Well, it's this one just came out, that one did, and that's from the 7-inch that comes with the record. It's their most recent song, but I mean, it should be stocked everywhere. If not, please write to us and complain.
Where's everywhere?
Or
though?
Just like, ask the record
what
store.
Amoeba? Is that?
Yeah, it would be.
I don't even know where people buy vinyl.
Well, I mean, it's all on our website, but yeah, I mean, Amoeba Origami should have it. I'm not really sure. I need to run by and check up on it. Make
but
sure.
But in the meantime,
I mean, it's stocked everywhere. Yeah, but it should be stocked everywhere. And if so, not, let us know.
Am I putting on side A or B? I know this is going to make for great radio.
The Youth Lagoon.
Okay. So how do you like LA?
Track. I love it. It's insane. It's chaos.
And your wife? Yes, she says yes.
She approves. But yeah. It's definitely chaos. I mean, it's there's definitely culture shock to it, you know, which we like most days, but it's crazy, you know.
Stuff to do.
Lots to do, almost too much. And it's like you're constantly running around. Because I try to like meet with someone at least once a day and like get out and, you know, because I'm just like constantly on the phone and on email. But LA rules. It's, you know.
Well, you'll learn to hate it too.
I'm sure. Everyone tells me.
Yeah.
especially like everyone on the East Coast, you know, it's like everybody in New York just cannot understand. Why we wanted to move here, you know.
We have trees, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, it's
we have grass.
It's funny because I've moved around so much all my life that everywhere is sort of generally the same.
Right.
You know, there's really good people and there's really bad people.
Right.
You know.
Everywhere
maybe
you go.
To slightly varying degrees, but the just the speed of things out here is so much different, you know. But I like it. I like it both ways, you know.
So is Fat Possum. What's the plan for Fat Possum here? You guys, I mean, we did a deal, obviously, with Self. But that's kind of not like a new band. Are there a lot of new bands?
Well, that's a good way to sort of encapsulate what we do. Because, I mean, we do a lot of new bands that there's a lot of work to do. A lot of planning goes into it and, you know, a lot of investment. So we have to be really for sure about what we do on the new stuff. But we have a lot of catalog stuff that is just sort of, you know what it's going to do every week. I mean, we have so many records that sell the exact same amount every week.
Right.
You know, it doesn't change. So that allows us, you know, a little bit of freedom to experiment with what we do. And I mean, Self was actually for one of our reissues, which is what a lot of the catalog is at this point, you know. Self was an experiment because it was such a cult thing and it was fairly new, you know?
Right.
Compared to some of the other reissues. So, I mean, yeah, but out here, it's the same. Again, it's just, we're just looking for interesting artists who are, generally we lean towards self-destructive artists, you know? But, you know, we're just good A&R and we try to sign bands and encourage kids to like pursue it and just facilitate it, you know?
What is a Fat Possum?
What's that?
Is it literally a possum? It's just fat?
It's
or
just
is that
a
like,
fat possum. I mean, like I think it was probably a joke. I mean, Matthew was in college.
Right.
And I think he has mixed feelings about the logo because it's a possum sniffing a smelly trash can, you know, which is like a common sight in Mississippi and not just there, obviously, but I think it's also like something to do with playing possum and, you know, that whole, you know, it's funny. I've never actually talked to Matthew about
what it is or
why the exact logic as to why he called it that, you
or
know,
he called it Fat Possum.
It just made sense. And it's funny.
I was in a band called the Pink Texas Cherries and for years I didn't know what that was, but apparently it's a grapefruit.
Yeah.
So Fat Possum isn't,
it's not like a
code for something else.
If someone knows, please let me
call
know.
In.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, Matthew might have some right. method to the madness there, but I don't know.
Well, let's play another.
All right,
piece of Fat Possum
temples
music.
Temples or
yeah, temples. Yeah, what's do the song temples. We're gonna be hearing?
A question isn't answered. I think second track on the B side. Kind of a weirder one.
Ah!
Stephen Bevilacqua from Fat Possum. What's the Fat Possum website?
Fatpossum.com.
That's easy to remember.
I have to spell it, though, every time people ask.
Which, the fat or the possum?
I don't know, all of it. I think when you say it together...
It sounds like you're mumbling.
What did you say?
Right.
Like, you know.
How many people are Fat Possum? I just know you and Patrick and...
Yeah.
Is it a big label? Little label?
Well, we're still like... as far as staff goes, it's a fairly small operation, I guess. But, I mean, we have people in London. I'm here. A couple people in New York. And then I would say 10, maybe? 10 to 12 at the office in Oxford.
You just look to your wife and your life.
I'm just trying to think.
I have no fucking idea.
Yeah, I'm counting in my head, but it's like, you know, 3 in the warehouse, 3 or 5, so somewhere around 10. But it changes. I mean,
right?
Because we go through, you know, when we have a lot of releases and we're doing mailings, we do everything from there, but we hire a lot of third parties, obviously, for... PR, radio,
you know, it's interesting to me,
stuff.
And what interested me when we first started talking about doing Self and Fat Possum was that, you know, here we are in this kind of like chaotic time. Well, although it's been chaotic for about 10 years in the music business of things just not working, there are labels that work. And
well, the majors, the middle ground dropped out. So independent labels were able to
step
into that middle ground. And, you know, like publishing and like print publishing and music is kind of more accessible now to other people, partially because of the internet and just technology. But I mean, I think for us, we were able to step into different areas, but also like independent labels that started springing up like in the late 80s or maybe even before. We're able to, their infrastructure now is good. And like we have real distribution and we can compete. I mean,
right.
We don't have the kind of money to jam things down people's throats like major labels do, but
I don't think people like things jammed down their throats anymore.
No,
and that's been a shift in the music business.
Yeah, kids,
they like to discover
choose,
stuff
and not
be told that
absolutely.
You got to like the Red Hot Chili Peppers because that's what K-Rock's playing. Nothing against
well,
the Red
no,
Hot Chili
no,
Peppers.
No, agreed. I don't want to listen to that, but I totally respect that. And Flea's like amazing. But
sure.
But more generally speaking, it's incredible to see how accepting the mainstream is versus like independent music.
Right.
Because independent music is very judgmental, you know, and exclusive almost, you know. More based on taste than money, but I'm amazed at how accepting mainstream music is and how much crossover there is, you know.
Yeah.
It's not always good. It's not always what I want to listen to, but it's neat to see people actually just gravitate towards things that they like, especially young people who are just positive and just amped to get out of their house.
Right.
And get away from their parents, you know, which is why I liked music, even though I love my parents.
Right.
Is, you know, you got to get away.
I guess the problem now is just getting those kids to pay for it, because they're kind of, they're educated to not have to pay for things anymore.
But
and
you know,
if you have a certain allowance and you have to buy a video game or go to a movie, which is now
well,
very expensive. You know how much movies were when I went? I'm a little older.
How much?
But I would go to a movie, it would be like $2.50.
Yeah.
And my
parents
friends
would pay like
went
a dime
to,
or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm not as old as them. Not as young as
right,
you.
Right, yeah.
My friends went to the movie the other night. It was $25 a ticket.
What movie?
I know. Well, there are these new theaters. Yes. Well, it's... No hand jobs, but...
Hand jobs in the back seat.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Can you say the name of the theater?
Yeah, it's called iPix, and it's in Westwood, that place you haven't been yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... Everybody sits, like, on a sofa, and there's a little, like...
Oh.
Computer screen next to you where you order shit, and then the waiter comes and brings it to you. But that seems kind of like... That's right. While giving you a hand job. That's right.
I think there was a Portlandia skit.
Was there?
About that was like this. But it was the it was like.
But this really exists. They were making fun of it.
Yeah, exactly. I bet that's what they're
I do
making
think
fun
you
of.
Get free popcorn if that makes it the.
That makes a little.
I,
as long as
I
they
mean.
Wait, as long as they open your mouth for you and put the popcorn in.
But $25 fucking dollars. See, I mean, we could go off forever about this, because now that I'm thinking about it, it's like when I first started doing A&R for Universal, we were part of the problem. We were this huge label, well, we were a subsidiary of a huge label, and we had a boatload of money, and everybody at the time was buying this was product that? For $30 or $20. Yeah. This was late 90s. Yeah. I'm sorry, middle 90s, before the whole bubble burst for the .com. But, you know, there's so many factors that I think went into this, but that's what I find interesting now with the, you know, the successes of Fat Possums and Side One Dummies and, you know, labels that have managed to not only survive but thrive amidst a business that can't seem to find itself anymore. But you charge people $30 for a shit product, eventually they're going to get pissed off and they're just going to take it for free. And so here we are later, and now everybody wants everything for free. Although when you put out this really cool package like you've just handed me on vinyl, people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah, it's actually premium product. It's not just like a farce. Like we invested in the people making the music.
Right.
That's who we are interested in, is like those artists and facilitating their dream to do whatever. And on that project in particular, Matt Halverson really did a good job of like picking and sort of curating who was going to be on it. But we spent our money on that, you know, like, or our time at least, you know. The artists were pretty cool in general about just doing stuff, because it was a good idea, you know. But Lefse's good at that, like thinking like about interesting ways to do stuff, you
right,
know,
that people and will pay for.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And we're not. And one of the things I did when I first got to Fat Possums is I was like helping set some of the prices, and I would set our vinyl prices way low, just because I was thinking like, kids are gonna want to. You'll break a 20, but you still want $5 left over to get like
Taco Bell,
a burger, or whatever. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's Taco Bell in Mississippi.
Oh yeah, like tons.
That's like high-end Mexican food.
We are the fattest state.
Are we still?
Right.
I mean, I'm just gonna hope that we are.
I think we're up there.
Something that we're good at. You want to be number one at something. But so $5 back, you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, that's how I set prices, and that's a very naive like. Childlike mentality, but that's how I was trying to think, just because.
Well, you were younger than it was record, probably relevant
well,
to you.
Well, I mean, I was mid-20s, but I was like thinking about the way I thought of my purchases back then, because we still like.
Your money has to go a long way.
And going back to what you were saying, like, kids are going to figure out, the next generation is going to figure out how to make the whole, like, the not paying for music work. I mean, they're the ones that are going to figure it out. It's not going to be us.
But we've kind of. Maybe they'll figure it out better, but
it's still dropping. I mean, people like 35% down this year on new release
and
sales.
Vinyl's up 17% or something like that. So I think there are ways to make it work. And I think, you know, much like buying a piece of art, people will pay for these cool packages to have it. So
good shit, people that are good.
Right. You're never going to have Thriller again. That's done.
I don't know. Psy was pretty bad.
right again, free,
but he didn't make a great record. Free, but
well, the single was free, or
it's just a different person paying for it. In that that case, it was just the ads on YouTube. But not everybody gets 80 billion views, so I mean, there's got to be a little more to it, and people are definitely fighting for that. But I mean,
Right, there will be another generation that will help things along, make things better.
There will always be like commerce involved, because you just have to actually communicate the message. Yeah, totally. Or it'll just like incubate in some random place like Mississippi,
right?
Which is really what Fat Possum was. You know, the blues sucked for like 50 years, you know, and then I heard that stuff and it was like punk again. You know, it was like really gnarly,
right?
and dark and evil, sort of, you know, just because it had just been sitting there like
festering,
thinking. You know,
what are we gonna listen to now? This is part of this cool thing, the Space Project.
Yeah, let's do the Youth Lagoon track, and then we'll play some older stuff maybe.
Okay, keep talking. I don't know if I did this right.
Okay.
Wait, we don't know if this is 33 or 45.
It should be.
We're foot getting lost, making way against the upgrades. I could see into your pocket, you were readying your season switchblade. In much more competent than they are, but you can't see when you're afraid. I might be a bit deranged, but I've loved you for a decade.
Suck at DJ.
I look back.
Was that the end of the song?
Yeah,
I stopped
yeah,
it. Yeah. Might have prematurely stopped it.
Yeah, that was it.
How many artists are on Fat Possum? Because you brought a shitload of records.
Well, we have a lot of. We distribute a few other labels. Lefsa, Other Music. Bruce has a label called Big Legal Mess, which is doing this thing. I was just holding this designer records. He has a lot of catalog stuff. I guess they're technically reissues, but most of them are completely slept on, super obscure. But they also like George Mitchell catalog, you know, is on there. But I mean, we probably have, I would say, over 400 records in the catalog, all said and done, if you count everything. But, you know, most, I would say the bulk of that's not on vinyl. It's all on CD, except for some of the deeper, like High Records, Big Legal Mess stuff, which is digital.
Are you aware of this guy that's buying up all the vinyl in the world? Did you read the article about him?
The guy that has...
In Brazil?
No.
This guy's this Brazilian multimillionaire. I forgot how he made his money. But he's got this
drugs.
Like OCD. No, he's a legitimate business. He has this compulsion he can't stop, and he's obsessed with buying vinyl. So he buys these huge collections for millions and millions of dollars. And he has a warehouse that's like the size of a hangar, and he has millions of records, and he can't stop. But he's turning it into a museum for vinyl.
That's crazy.
Yeah, in Brazil.
There was a guy in New York too that had, I can't remember, I'm trying to think where I watched it, but he had basically every record made from when vinyl was first pressed until like the 80s or something.
This guy's probably purchased his collection.
Probably so.
And he comes in with Mack trucks. He doesn't even do it himself. He has guys now around the world who go out and search out collections, make them an offer, and then they fly these records back to Brazil.
He's not the same guy that just invested in like a huge... museum down there, is he? He's just buying up a bunch of art.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I think this guy's
a different guy.
Compulsion is vinyl.
That's so strange.
People have this weird vinyl obsession.
Yeah, it's
audiophiles
very fetishy.
Yeah.
It's funny too, though, because I mean, so much new stuff that's pressed on vinyl was recorded on a Mac
digital.
Laptop.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like you're turning digital sound back into analog,
right,
which I don't really think makes any sense.
Well, not everybody's an audiophile.
Well, I know, but
really
I'm saying it's more of just like a...
It's a souvenir.
...thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying.
It's a widget.
It's a reaction to digital, you know?
What do people from Mississippi do when they get here in LA? Like, what do you guys do every day? Do you wake up and go like, what do we do? Do we go see things? We go walk Hollywood Boulevard? What do people do?
I mean,
I'm from LA, so I don't know what people do.
Well, I mean, I get up every
you
day
work.
And go to my computer.
Right.
It's really boring.
Right.
you know,
there's
interesting
porn on the internet now.
That's true.
Yeah, so that makes it more exciting.
I discovered that when I was about 13. It was,
right. But
it was
you didn't
amazing.
Have, right. I had Playboys and Penthouse. You probably never had to do that, did you?
There were some kids that had some stuff.
Right.
But
you had the internet.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
I mean, pretty early on, yeah.
Right.
13, I guess.
I wasn't so lucky.
Well,
I had to steal porno magazines.
That's way cooler, though. That's way more fun.
More interesting. Well, not when you're 13.
Whatever, man. I bet you had fun doing it.
Masturbating or stealing? Because the stealing part was not fun. The masturbation.
I don't know. I've never masturbated.
Great.
I don't know. No, but it's thrilling to do something like that.
Right. Yeah.
It's
do get
like,
a little high.
Yeah.
Never
it's
got
a
caught.
Risk. That's what Breaking Bad's all about.
Right.
Like every time he commits a crime, he gets horny and fucks his wife.
Right.
It's a thrill. I hope kids are still thrilled when they're on the internet.
Well, I have a feeling it's funny that you do that. I have a daughter now, and so I'm less concerned than if I had a son. But if I had a son, I would.
Girls look at porn, Sarah. You look at porn.
Well, she's not a girl. She's not 13.
She's a
anymore.
Woman.
She's a woman.
Right.
I understand that women do look at porn, but.
So do girls.
Well, let's hope not.
She agrees.
No. Yeah. Don't
tell
me that.
You better check on it.
I feel like my daughter.
That's true.
Well, so maybe I should be worried.
But there's no. Why
but
would you be worried?
Because everybody's just desensitized.
Yeah, but is.
Well, God, if I was in Mississippi, I don't.
I'm very confused where this went.
I don't think I would ever leave the computer if I lived in Mississippi. I would masturbate around the clock. What else is there to do?
Sex with people.
I guess. So.
Yeah, that's
right.
The thing. That's what you. That's the only.
16 and pregnant.
Yeah.
And they're all in Mississippi.
Dude, you don't even know. You don't even know.
Drive off the road.
That's what happens, and you can't buy a condom.
Why? Oh, because it's all religious?
You can. But in Tupelo, Mississippi, where fucking Elvis is from,
right.
That's where, what do they call, like the, that's where my bank is based too, by the way, but
it's a great little song.
They tried to like ban, I know, right? They tried to like ban condoms a year ago.
Contraceptive.
I wouldn't call that education, but it's whatever. It's weird, right. But it's, you know, I mean.
Well, the point is the internet's good for a lot of things if you're sitting around and you're bored, but I don't want my daughter on it, and I wouldn't want my son on it. I don't have a son yet.
Yeah.
But. Well, that's a good plan too.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I wouldn't worry so much about porn. Just tell them to get out there and do something.
Sure. Right. Well, that's the goal.
Yeah. You know, get off the computer for part of your day, you know.
But I just look back on it and I just think that it was so difficult for me to get those thrills, which is what kept me outdoors. But now it's right there in front of you.
Well, and I mean, not to like try to bring it back to music, but it is, I mean, it's a similar thing there too, because it's so accessible now that people right. just take it for granted.
Yes.
And like, you know, if you're asking about Mississippi, sincerely, when I first heard like Nirvana and the Beastie Boys and White Zombie, I felt that I had been gypped by life. You know what I mean? Like, it was like this like moment for me where I was like, there's way more out there than what I'm
gypped in life, not
told.
Because the music was bad, gypped in life because here's where I'm stuck and there's all this great stuff out there. Is that what you're
exactly,
saying?
Exactly, yeah. Right. And okay. When I discovered it, it was like true discovery where it was like, I
gotta get out of here.
Well, not so much I gotta get out of here, just like it's possible for me to do more than just like be brainwashed by weird religious people that creep me out.
Right. You know? Right.
Which is really, to me, the bigger issue with, you know, that's really what is keeping all that at bay. You know what I mean? It's just a weird cultural brainwashing. You know, it's odd, but I hope that because it's so accessible on the internet that it doesn't dilute things for kids. You know.
No, you want them to discover.
Yeah, you want them to do interesting stuff and educate themselves and not be ignorant. I mean, that's how we evolve, you know?
Well, so. I'll let you know how things turn out with my daughter.
Yeah, keep us posted.
In the meantime, Winnie.
And check you. And check up on it.
Make sure she knows how to delete her history.
Right. Oh, trust me. I know. Or don't. Yeah, why would I want to do that? I want to check up on her.
You want to know.
I delete my history. Well, that's true. Right. Oh, crap.
Well, there's that whole Woody Allen. The things I wanted to know about sex.
Everything you wanted to know about sex. Yeah. The orb.
That addresses some of those issues.
What are we listening to now?
I don't know. Modest Mouse, Summer. We're. I can't say too much. It's different. It should be on 45.
Look up, we're still caught.
She changes.
Dance, 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 go crazy. We go to the parties.
things up. We're here with Stephen from Fat Possum. And any parting words? Go to fatpossum.com.
I hope I remember to mention everything. I don't know. I wanted to play KKK Took My Baby Away for Patrick because his band used to cover that song. Uh-huh. So I thought that would be a nice
shout
out to Mississippi, but no.
Oh.
This is going to be Pop Crimes from Roland S. Howard, who was in The Birthday Party with Nick Cave and a million other things.
All right.
But we just put it out, and people seem to... It's awesome to see it happen because he's a genius, and, you know, he died right after this record came out. It's super sad, but
you have a lot of dead guys on your label.
It's true.
Like young dead people too.
Well, most of them were old, but this one in particular, he was probably in his I should know this, but I think early 50s, maybe late 40s even.
That's still young. But who's the other dead guy that I played on my show?
Maybe the younger guy, Jay Retard or something.
Jay Retard, yeah.
Yeah, well, he did his new stuff on Matador, and that was another reissue that In the Red actually did originally, which is, they did a lot of his stuff, and all of it's pretty amazing. But yeah, that was a brutal one, you know, ripped your heart out sort of thing. But he was a genius. He made like 100 records by the time he was 29. Wow. Literally.
That's a lot.
You know.
Well, here we go. So,
Roland Howard.
All right. No, wait, hold on. Do I have the right speed?
Yeah. It's the theme.
Okay, three?
Yeah.
All right.
town, avoiding bills from this vast expanse of nothing. Nothing good will come of this, but the hole and the zero and an open heart surgery kiss. This was pop crime. It was pop crime. This was pop crime. It was a pop crime. It was a pop crime. This was a pop crime. Is that why you turned to stone? Or was that state reserved for me and me alone? Does the hissing of their carpeted snakes desiccate your soul? This was a pop crime. 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 It was a pop crime.
Supposed to be done. Are we done?
Yeah, it's fine.
But there's somebody coming in here to turn us off. Thanks for listening. The meeting on K Chung, Steven.
Bye. Thank you.
Fatpossum.com. Bye.